let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm fortunate enough to be in the studio today with Father John Wargel.
Well, welcome I'm back, fortunate Father. To be with you.
Yes, it's always good. It's always good. So today we're going to continue our conversation about Pharaoh and Moses and the story of bringing Pharaoh to a place where he's ready to allow the Israelites to leave.
Yeah.
And then he changes his mind like an idiot.
Well, I mean, he's a king, right? And he's a sovereign, and they're not used to buckling to anybody, right?
That's right. So, yeah. When you think you're God.
You know. That's right. That's when you think you're God. Right. So we're focusing on the battle itself, the strange and terrible weapons of Yahweh. And of course, these are the plagues.
The plagues,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great to read these again, actually, when I was, you know, prepping for this. It was great to read through every single one of them and get the details again on all of that, because I hadn't read it in a little while. So
Right. Yeah. So, well, you know, actually, the beginnings of skirmish, we already talked about, okay, when Moses came before Pharaoh and, you know, he threw his rod down, okay, and it became, which I believe is a cobra.
Yes.
Right? And the strange and terrifying thing about this whole thing is also that the magicians were able to do the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Now, how they practice this in their back rooms and stuff, you know, turning rods to snakes.
It is pretty amazing. This whole thing where there are a few times at the beginning where the magicians of Pharaoh were able to duplicate these things from God. It's just really amazing.
I know. Science. I know. And this is because the Bible acknowledges that there's evil.
Yeah.
And that even though evil is working on borrowed powers, in other words, the magicians, if they can pull something off, they're really borrowing all power belongs to God. There's no power base in evil, right?
Right, yeah.
But to do their dark things. But then that's true about all of us, isn't it?
Sure.
Even evil workers, you know. You know, we say, why in the world are there evil people? Why does God allow, you know, evil people to do the evil things, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is called theodicy. How's evil in the world? And why, if God's also powerful? Well, in the Hebrew mind, it's just not a problem. Because Yahweh is sovereign over everything, even evil, working evil to do his will.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah, so he allows these magicians.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead, use this power. Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
It's just gonna help my story, to continue.
That's right. Okay. So when Moses' snake swallowed up Pharaoh's snakes, that should have been a bad omen for him, because again, if they're cobras, that, you know, the uraeus, I talked to about that, on that cobra on top of his hat, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to scare people away. His snakes are getting swallowed up by Yahweh. So,
yeah.
You know,
whoops.
This is not going to end well.
Right.
But, you know, his heart, as we said before, is hardened, right?
So, yeah. So he doesn't see the real truth.
That's what hardened heart blinds you. You can't see reality, and you'd make stupid tactical decisions, right? We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
So what we have here in these chapters, there are three sets of three plagues, okay? It's highly stylized for a reason, okay? It's a buildup, okay? Mm-hmm. So each stage is intensifying. You know, it's concluding with the worst of all, which is the death angel, right?
Yeah.
Now, in the first stage, the Nile turns to blood. you know, we all saw the Cecil B. DeMille's film right there.
Right, yeah.
And how creepy that was, right?
Yeah, and how bad the smell was. I mean, all of that kind of stuff, you just, it's not just that the Nile turned to blood. People couldn't drink.
Yeah.
And then there was this horrible odor and
stink. Well, you can imagine all the fish coming up, belly up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just all these terrible things, right?
Now, here's one thing I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. Okay,
you know, this is just me. You know, this is just me. So I was thinking, why in the world did some of these things happen? Like, if it was going to be from the sort of simplest plague to the most horrible plague. Now, I understand the last one's definitely the most horrible. But, you know, like flies and gnats, it seems like those should have been first, not the blood. You know, like the blood was a bigger thing to me.
Oh, well, you know, you ask these type of questions, like even the last one, which is darkness, you know.
Oh, yes.
You think, well, you know, what's so bad about darkness? I live half my life, you know, and
in the night dark.
About darkness like that, you know. But there's real symbolic meaning in this whole thing, okay? First of all, he's attacking the Nile, which is the life source of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's the plague of frogs.
Yes.
Okay. You know, most of us think of frogs as cute little things, you know, but when you get too many of them.
Yeah, like a billion.
All right.
In your food.
So frog legs galore, right?
No.
Tastes like chicken, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's what they tell me in France, yeah.
And then you have the gnats. Okay. Now, it's interesting that the magicians can do one and two. I mean, the magicians can turn water into blood, too.
Right.
And they can do frogs, okay?
Yeah.
But for some reason, they couldn't do gnats. I could never understand that.
You know, too big a deal.
Frogs are more complex creatures than gnats. And you think they'd be able to, you know. But it was at the gnats that the magicians saw, well, this is the finger of God.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that so weird that they changed their mind on that one? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Very interesting.
And the magicians are catching on, okay? But Pharaoh's not.
Right.
That's an important point. Okay. Well,
and again, I know his heart is hardened, but you think that the magicians would go to him and say, hey, listen, you got to knock this off. This is going to get worse.
Well, yeah, the magicians are getting nervous because they realize, hey, this is, you know, this is the finger of God.
Something big's happening here. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in a second set of threes, we've got the flies, the death of Egypt's livestock, and the boils. Okay. And it's interesting that at this stage, there's a distinction between Israel and Egypt, okay, where the Egyptians are suffering from this, but the Israelites are not, okay?
Oh, mm-hmm.
So that's another subtle indicator that Pharaoh, you know, what's going on here. This is not just some epidemic that's, you know,
it's
really focused on Egypt, right?
Right.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
So that's another subtle indicator that Pharaoh, you know, what's going on here. This is not just some epidemic that's, you know,
it's
really focused on Egypt, right?
Right.
And at the end of this stage, because of the boils, the magicians couldn't even stand before Pharaoh. They went back to their house and tried to dress their wounds or boils, and they're too much pain to even...
To show up.
To show up, right. Okay. So then the third stage are the plagues of hail, which can be very destructive, locust, which, you know, eats up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about locusts, you know, think about the book of Joel and stuff like that. You know, you might think, you know, locusts are not a big deal. But in ancient Near East, they were big deals. Okay. If the swarm came, you're dead. Because they eat up everything that you need to live by, right?
That's it. I was driving one time. Darcy and I were driving cross country, and we were coming through Kansas, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there was a huge, I mean, more than I have ever seen before, swarm of locusts slash grasshoppers, you know, whatever
no
they were.
No kidding.
I am telling you, we were driving in a truck, Toyota truck.
Yeah.
The whole truck completely covered, like the whole front of the truck, just all of these dead grasshopper things.
Oh,
I did think to myself, wow, this is what it was like.
Right.
You know, it's incredible. I mean, they just are swarming, millions and billions and billions of them.
No.
It's just incredible.
They must have been eating everything in their path, right?
Everything in their path.
They're like a cloud, your dark cloud.
Yeah.
Now, that's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the ninth plague is a thick darkness, okay? And at this point, the magicians aren't even around. They're not even mentioned. Okay.
Yeah, they're gone from the story.
So we
really
see that there's this intensification. Mm-hmm. And at the end, everything's unrestrained, right? Okay, so what happening to the magicians is very significant. Again, they could duplicate snakes. They can do blood. They can do water to blood. They can do frogs. Couldn't do gnats. Okay, this is a finger of God. So, you know, you'd almost think that this is a magic contest between Moses and the magicians, but it's not, because when you're reading this, it's not even a competition.
No, they're gone. They're seriously gone from the story after a very short time at the beginning.
Yeah, it's not like this movie that The Raven with Boris Karloff and Vincent Price.
Yeah, you know, it's the
they're
Edgar
sitting
Allan
in
poster.
These two chairs. You remember that one?
Yes.
And they're
yeah.
having this duel going back and forth, and you wonder who's going to win, right?
Yep.
It's not like that at all. Okay, mm-hmm. It's... you know, boy, I'm reaching back into the 60s with that one.
You're not kidding. But I do remember it.
That's because you're
the same, yeah.
That's right. So, because Moses is transcending magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to see, because Egypt is a land of magic, right?
Yep.
And Yahweh led his people to defeat them, even though it was much suffering. All this is to set this... the world stage of what life is really like, okay, and to teach the world this profound theological truth of who Yahweh was, okay. So with darkness, and we mentioned that before, it wasn't just a natural, it was an unnatural darkness, okay.
Because it was in the daytime.
It's in the daytime, it's unnatural. And of course, the Egyptian skies are always blue. It's the sun, God.
Mm-hmm.
Ra going across the heavens, you know, which again, Pharaoh is the personification of it.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason why it comes out to that ninth one, right?
Sure. Yeah. That's a huge deal for the Egyptian people.
That would
because
be it.
That's their God.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. So the 10th plague then is the death of the firstborns. Okay.
Yeah.
This takes us back to the beginning in chapter 4:26 or something like that. We talked about this. This whole thing's a parental battle between Yahweh and his firstborn, Pharaoh and his firstborn, that is the dynasty. And
mm-hmm.
and one is going to win and one's going to lose and one's going to lose their firstborn. Pharaoh loses his firstborn. Okay. And so therefore at this point, he is forced to beg for intercession to Moses, right?
Yeah.
So Yahweh turns the gods of Egypt against the Egyptians in his warfare, which is a profound irony of this whole thing. It wouldn't have been missed, right?
Yeah.
Again, the Nile's the source of life for the Egyptians, and his god is Hapi. Okay, I'm not really good with the Egyptian gods, but, you know, frogs are amphibians, therefore ambiguous, belong to both land and water. They're mysteriously linked to fertility and represent Heket, okay, the goddess of birth, fertility, and regeneration. So he's at war with them, okay?
Right,
you like frogs?
This, yeah.
We got lots of frogs for you.
You
right?
got too many frogs. Yeah, but there's all this symbolism that's tied up in all of things. I don't know about the gnats and flies, but there's all kinds of other symbolism that's tied up in these plagues themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Things that would have been very meaningful to the Egyptian people and, of course, to Pharaoh.
Right, and then livestock. You've got, got the bull-headed Apis, okay, with, you know, famously linked to the golden calf, which, you know, the Israelites, you know.
Used later.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, and then it concludes with the god Ra, or Re. I never did figure out exactly. Yeah, I hear it pronounced both ways. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this judgment is really against the pagan worldview that worships nature and wants to manipulate by magic. And it's so strange that this hasn't changed, even in our own sophisticated, rationalistic world of science and so on and so forth.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it hasn't changed a bit.
It's all happening today. Same.
Right. Yeah. So this makes this text forever, what should we say, relevant, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. The point is that Yahweh proves once and for all that he alone is God. So,
and so
I don't know if I got anything more to say.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe I shouldn't say it.
So the plagues end with Pharaoh finally relenting and saying, you know, okay, uncle, I've had enough. This is too much. And so he sort of begs.
Right. Yeah. And you think that if he was humble enough, he would say, okay, you know, uncle.
Yeah. Right.
But we shall see. He doesn't say uncle.
Doesn't say that. What an idiot. Oh.
But so many of us don't say uncle.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's Lord, true. You know, I repent. And, you know, I see that you're sovereign. I'm tired of fighting you. I want, you know, that sort of thing. Right?
Yeah. These are the weaknesses. Acknowledge and move on in steps toward God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't happen. Okay. Well, continuing the story next time. Thanks so much for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.